Alrighty, welcome to Connections. I'm Rick Moore, along with Josh Arnold, Bill Newell, and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And we are live this morning, once again on this Thursday morning now here at the beginning of April. Kind of another drizzly day here in eastern Massachusetts. Today we've got our usual eclectic lineup. We'll be chatting with the Danvers Selectmen's Chairperson, Dan Bennett. We'll be checking in with Corey Jackson, who is the executive director of the Citizen Inn in Peabody. Bill will be talking to them. And also to Dave Radigan, the educator and comedian who takes a little bit different look at what we're going through right now and lightens the load just a bit. But we're going to start off right away with our first interview of the morning with friend Jared Nicholson, who is on the Lynn School Committee. And I'm sure we have a lot to find out and discuss here. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing okay, actually. You know, hunkered down and get out for a walk or a run occasionally, maybe a visit to the grocery store or the pharmacy, but that's about it. How are things on your end?
I'm doing well. We are obviously very concerned about the impact this is having on public schools and here at home. My wife works at Mass General Hospital, and so that has been, as you can imagine, a stressful experience as well.
Can I ask what she does there?
She's a midwife, so she delivers babies.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, the babies keep coming, and my wife is there for them with her team.
That must be a little extra stressful on her and the moms at this point. But I have to say, I've had a recent experience at Mass General back in December, and it's been ongoing. And that is the most amazing place I have ever heard of or seen or been to. Every single person we've dealt with there, from people who greet you at the door to security workers to custodians, to the top of the chain, has been fantastic. So I hope she has a good experience, and I know that it's gonna be a little anxious for all of you guys.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so glad to hear you've had that experience, and I know that team is doing their best in these really uncertain times.
Absolutely. All right. Let's start with your overview first of all, Jared. I guess the first thing I want to know is, are you still having school committee meetings? And I'm guessing that's by online somehow.
Yes, we are still having school committee meetings. We actually had an emergency meeting last week, and it was all remote. Everybody called in, a video conference, actually, and the local television was able to broadcast that, even though it was remote. So we are still meeting. We met last week, and we actually have a meeting tonight.
When you do the remote, are all of, like the Brady Bunch, are all the pictures on screen so you can see each other, and if someone wants to speak, you sort of raise your hand?
That's exactly right. For people that don't have the video conference capability, they can call in with their phone, and so we wouldn't get the picture of them, but we'd hear them loud and clear. And everyone else, yeah, you can see everybody on the screen.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was just the committee members. Okay. All right. And what's your appraisal of that first meeting? How did it go? Because that had to be something new for everybody.
Yeah, I think it went really well. I mean, we did a test run the day before to make sure everybody's software worked. And yeah, it's the school committee, the mayor, obviously as the chair of the school committee, and the superintendent and his key team members. So you know, it's a group of about a dozen people, and everybody was able to make it work technologically. So I thought it was great that we were able to do that.
That is good. That's pretty amazing. Now, There's so much to talk about, I don't even know where to start. I think we'll start with sports, Jared, because obviously, you know, you're the chair of the sports committee. And maybe a little summary of what's happening there with the Lynn Schools.
Well, you know, obviously it's really, really hard for our student-athletes who have put so much time and effort over the years to see some of the culmination of that be canceled, postponed. I really feel for the winter sports who were still competing in the tournaments that had to be canceled, but we're really proud of the success that those teams had, and just the public health crisis doesn't take anything away from what they were able to achieve, and we're still really proud of that. There's great success, and we will find an opportunity, I'm sure, in the future to properly celebrate that success when this all comes over.
Yep.
So that's winter. I mean, for spring, it's more uncertainty. I think that the as you probably saw, the MIA is hoping to fit the season in May if we're able to all get back, and I surely hope that's the case. Obviously, we'll have to see what the public health guidance is at that time.
Well, we were talking to, obviously covered the Lynn English team, and they were obviously disappointed, Coach Anderson and everybody, disappointed that, you know, they couldn't go to the final game, but they are state champs for the second year in a row, and I'm guessing at some point you're going to have a celebration for them, if not citywide, at least within the school system.
Absolutely. We're so proud of them. That back-to-back state championship is amazing, and we will be sure to celebrate them when we can, give them the celebration they deserve.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm skeptical whether the season's going to get underway for spring or not, but that's a story for another day, and we don't know at this point, and I know that we've been covering the MIAA plans as well. But you're right, it's so hard for seniors who have been planning on this for so long, but also for the juniors who need this, you know, to get onto their resume and to make their mark. But everything's on hold at the moment. I think everybody gets that, which leads me to my next question. What has been the response, Jared, that you know of from people within the community who have had to sort of had their kids transition to whatever is online? And maybe we could start with that. What is online for the kids right now? Is there sort of a formal or an informal learning curriculum that has begun?
Yes. So this has been a hard transition, but I've been really proud of the district in trying to make it work, and particularly the teachers who have on a moment's notice tried to create resources that would continue the learning that was happening in their classrooms, and the students. You know, I mean, it's such resilience for them to continue to try to log on and move forward. And I know this is a huge strain on the families and caretakers that are now trying to steward their kids' education from their living room, and that's really a challenge. So I understand this is difficult. We certainly are making an effort as fast as we can to get resources online. So each school has a page on the Lynn Public Schools website with activities and with curriculum. There's also a curriculum being developed specifically for remote learning. And this is all in process. As you can imagine, this was not something that the Lynn Public Schools was ready for, to instantly go remote after the centuries of in-person
yeah,
learning.
Really.
But we are working on it, and our staff, the teachers, the educators are doing a great job trying to get something out there as quick as we can, and that's consistent with state guidelines. And also cognizant of the fact that our students who have particular needs when they're in the classroom, those needs are all the more important for us to consider outside of the classroom. So talking about language barriers, special education, things like that.
Yeah, I can't imagine how complex this must be. And I just wonder, what is your role, or what is the school committee's role in this? Because obviously this puts an amazing burden on the superintendent, his staff, and of course all the educators in the buildings and so on. But because I'm asking questions here that might not be specific to what the school committee is doing and so on. So maybe explain what your role is in this, Jared, and is this a part of the agenda coming up and so on? What's the process?
Yeah, absolutely. So our role and responsibility is. At a high level, it's similar to what it was before this all happened, in that we are there to oversee and evaluate the superintendent and to make policy decisions and budget decisions. So the way it worked last week is we are obviously entrusting Dr. Tutwiler and his team to implement all of this and to come up with the plans, and we're able to get the update at the meetings and ask questions and channel the community feedback that we're getting, and then also help the superintendent get the word out about what he's doing, and kind of try to be that go-between between the public schools and the community.
I know that
go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, anecdotally, I know I've know of people who have talked to me about being parents with young kids in particular, not necessarily high school, but young kids, and they're very frustrated in terms of, A, you know, the kids are all home at once, especially more than one kid in the family of young school age. B, the learning curve, keeping them, engaged, if I can use that term, online. And then three, or C, the idea that the parents are I don't want to say very frustrated, but there's an anxious time in parents trying to help kids do online learning. So I guess what I want to ask you is what is your feeling about the requirements of online learning at this point. In other words, if kids can't do so well on this, and maybe some teachers are a little more focused, a little have a stricter curriculum. Not a wrong word to use, but you know they have a specific curriculum. They want their kids to learn, but kids are not able to do that. Obviously, down the road, whenever this thing is over and we can get back to school, those kids who, for want of a better term, couldn't keep up, they're obviously not going to be penalized. So this is all stuff. This is all kinds of stuff that the educators have to take into account too, I'm assuming. And have you heard that kind of thing from parents?
Absolutely, and I totally understand that anxiety, and it's something that we're really aware of. And so I think we're trying to find a way to do the best we can in continuing student learning while giving every benefit and understanding to the students who are going to struggle with this. And so it'll be not only being understanding in the moment now, but also we're going to have to talk the later this spring and this summer about how we're going to catch kids up in the fall, because we understand that there's going to be real gaps in learning, and it's going to be part of our comeback plan to try to meet those gaps.
Well, the whole world is on hold, and it seems to me that, you know, if we could just reset the calendar whenever that is, you know, if it's in June or July, all right, let's just call this March 13 or whatever. But obviously that's that presents tremendous logistical problems for everybody. But Jared, the good news is that kids want to go back to school.
Right.
So, the DPWs and so on have taken this opportunity to sterilize places, to clean the buildings and so on. So, in essence, they probably are able to do stuff that they couldn't do otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, I expect that once we are ready to go back, we're going to have a really eager population of students and educators who can't wait to get back into the building and see one another and continue their important work.
When is the next school committee meeting?
Tonight at 6 o'clock.
All right, and I'm guessing that COVID is at the top of the agenda everywhere.
Absolutely.
All right, Jared. Anything else you want to mention? Because I've sort of focused on the stressful stuff here, but again, that cannot negate the good work that happens in the Lynn school system, not only in athletics but also in academics, and it's a strain on everybody. But I'm guessing morale is probably okay.
Yes, and I've been really impressed by the commitment of our team, the Lynn Public Schools. And I want to give a particular shout out to the employees who are staffing the lunch programs, the free lunch programs around the city, to grab and go at certain schools that allow students who rely on these free meals to come in and still get their meal, because they're still showing up to work, and they're working throughout all this and doing an amazing job, and it's a really special contribution that they're making, so I'm going to give them a shout-out.
I'm glad you did. I forgot to ask about that, and that's true all over the North Shore. Jared, please keep in touch, and please be safe, and once again, thank you so much for letting us pick your brain for this information.
My pleasure. You too.
All right. Stay safe. Thanks, Jared. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. That is Jared Nicholson, who is on the Lynn School Committee. He's also the chair of the sports committee, the Lynn School Committee's sports committee. There we go. And a nice guy, and appreciate all the time and effort that he and just about everybody else is putting in on this. It's kind of weird. Okay, we got updates coming up here. We're going to be talking with Josh and Bill, Bill Newell, later on. We have a lot of interviews to get to this morning. We hope that you will pass along your information, thoughts, or comments to msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Coming up, Bill Newell will be talking with the Danvers Selectman's Chairperson, Dan Bennett, and we'll get on with our other interviews in just a little while. This is Connections on MSO, so thank you for being with us, and I don't know, I was going to say hope you're enjoying the day, so I'll say that. I hope you are enjoying the day. Sometimes it's a chance to reflect and get some respite. I know that it's very stressful, but on occasion you can just kind of look out the window and say, yeah, all right, so we're here. All right, we'll be right back.
MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors. Like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com. Dan Bennett, the chairman of the Board of Selectmen, Town of Danvers, is joining us. And, Dan, welcome. Good to be talking with you.
Thank you, Bill. Nice to be here.
Dan, the interconnectedness we're finding nationally, statewide, and now locally here in the situation, just talking about the things that are impacting Danvers. I know this week the selectmen voted to delay elections and town meeting. Just fill us in on those two things.
We wanted to move those into June to hope that we can ride out this virus, but we're forced to have it by the end of June. So we just moved them all ahead a month, to the election to the first Tuesday in June, and a town meeting on the third Monday of the month.
I imagine a lot of other towns will be doing that. However, it seems to me Danvers might be the first in our area to make that move.
I know for the first. I understand that about 20 towns have acted on this. We did it as soon as the governor signed Chapter 45 back end of March. We set it up for the first Monday this week so we could get that business taken care of.
There's a lot of other interconnectedness and things that the town of Danvers and all towns and cities are concerned about. The next one I want to ask you about is loss of revenue. What's the latest on that and with taxes and so on?
Yeah, there's going to be a severe drop in our revenue stream from hotel, motel taxes, meal taxes. I mean, these businesses, hotels are down 75%, I understand, in future bookings. And we rely on that quite a bit for our budget, because we don't get a lot of funding from the state. Some of the cities can get upwards of 20% of their budget from the state and local aid. We only get about 10%. So these other tax streams are very important for us, so that we don't have to put more burden on our taxpayers for property taxes.
And a town like Danvers, you know, some small towns, Dan, don't have a business kind of, don't get business taxes, if you will. But Danvers, I think, with the malls and all the other business, there is a lot of business in Danvers that you depend on, and that's always in jeopardy, I guess, at this point.
Right. Sales tax, excise tax, motor vehicle excise tax. We collect an excise tax from all the car dealerships on 114. Because those cars are located in Danvers. If they start cutting back and they're not selling cars, it affects us. Hotels, loss of revenue there. All the little restaurants that we have in town, the pizza shops, the sub shops, they're all suffering. Even if they're delivering food for takeout only, their business is down dramatically. So we're going to have our financial director and town manager really going to have to sharpen the pencil to cut the budget down in anticipation of those lost revenues.
Yeah, that's the fallout yet to come out of this coronavirus. Dan, what about local taxes that residents pay, homeowners pay? What about those bills?
Well, those bills, we hope that the legislature comes up with some language that allows us to have the folks, if they don't pay the taxes on time because they're not working, not to charge them penalties and interest. Typically, if you don't pay your tax bill on time, you hit with a 14% interest rate from day one beyond the due date. But if the legislature gets together and comes up with some acting bill that the governor can sign, it'll allow our town manager to have the ability to defer those interest rates and penalties.
Yeah, I actually watched the presidential news conference yesterday, and that they were talking about borrowing at zero interest. But I got to think the state and probably towns are going to have to be borrowing to cover expenses into the next fiscal year.
the state is going to have a big problem with all the money they need to come up with for the unemployment, and they're going to have to defer some of their payments to the OPEC pension funds that they're required to pay into. And if they don't pay into those, they could lose part of their credit rating from the credit rating bureau. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different things that are going to happen in the next 6 months that it's hard to anticipate until the actual numbers come in.
Dan, I want to ask you one last question on the businesses. Is there anything specific or interest or kind of unique you've been hearing from? Have you heard from any particular local businesses in Danvers and stories along those lines?
Well, it's really the employees that have been furloughed or they can't go to work, the hair salons, barber shops, those folks, they're self-employed. They're not collecting a check. They have no unemployment insurance unless something does happen. And for my friends locally, they're suffering. I know that for a fact. An interesting thing, I got a call from a gentleman in town. He's 77 years old. He likes to read. He can't get to the library to get books. Now, he's not like you and I who have a Kindle or something to read. So he's really at a loss what to do for something as simple as reading.
Yeah, I know. It would be nice if somehow something like that could be available to seniors. You're right about being able to get out and do that. I that's a story I've heard before too. So,
yeah.
Dan, anything else to share with us? I've kind of directed some of these questions at you here, but is anything else regarding the
everybody to stay safe, stay home, don't go out and get infected, don't get sick. That's the biggest thing you can do. It's a struggle. It's going to be a couple of months before things start to slow down, but I urge everybody, stay home, be safe, stay well.
Dan, thanks so much for your time, and best of luck. You too stay safe, and thanks for those words and information from the town of Danvers.
You're welcome, Bill.
Yep.
Thanks.
Dan Bennett, the chairman of the Board of Selectmen, Town of Danvers, on Connections.
This is Connections. I'm Rick Moore. That was Bill Newell. Josh Arnold will be joining us in a little while. Bill Proposky, of course, is our producer and engineer. Have a note from the City of Newburyport, their most recent post on their website, which is cityofnewburyport.com. It says that there are currently 17 confirmed positive cases of COVID-19 in Newburyport. All 17 individuals who have tested positive, as well as their families, are currently in quarantine. The Newburyport Health Department is following DPH and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines and is monitoring each case during the 14-day quarantine period. The state is providing plenty of information about COVID-19, of course. And if you're listening to this, you can obviously go to the cityofnewburyport.com website and check out more on that. They do have some information, of course, the City of Newburyport updates. City Hall is closed to the public until further notice. If you have to conduct business, you should call 978-465-4413. All senior center activities are canceled. The library is closed. Of course, public playgrounds are closed. Newburyport Youth Services is closed. And all police and fire department lobbies and stations are closed to the public. Obviously, if you have an emergency, you should be dialing 911. So that is from the Newburyport website. See if there's anything else here. And they've got lots and lots of stuff up there, as do all the city and town websites. We'll be talking with Gloucester Fire Department Chief Eric Smith here in a while. I'm not sure if that's going to be during this program or if we'll post it separately, but he has some information and updates from the city of Gloucester. And everybody's just chipping in to try to do the best they can. I think for me, the biggest thing is to be patient. I keep looking for the news each morning that is going the day when it says, everything's down. All the cases, no new cases, no new anything. And I have to be patient for that because I guess that's quite a way away. Well, coming up next, Bill Newell will be bringing back another interview. Bill will be talking with Corey Jackson, who is the executive director of the Citizen Inn in Peabody, and later on he'll be chatting with Dave Radigan as well. So that's all upcoming here on MSO. Oh, okay. All right, so there you go. We have to take another break, and Bill will be right back. back with our next interview, so please stay with us.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com.
Corey Jackson is joining us, Executive Director of Citizens Inn in Peabody. Corey, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Corey, Citizens Inn merged with Haven for Hunger that I'm familiar with from a number of years back, but tell me what Citizens Inn does and the scope of the work that you do in the Peabody area.
Sure. So Citizens Inn helps families and individuals dealing with housing insecurity and food insecurity. We have 34 families that live with us in our shelter program. These are mostly single moms with infants and toddlers, trying to get back on their feet and, you know, secure some income and get back into permanent, stable housing. We work with them. We have about 4,000 individuals we serve through Haven from Hunger with various programs, including our pantry, which is normally a full-service grocery. It's now gone to pre-bagged groceries due to the COVID-19 crisis. And our meals program, which is normally a nice sit-down dinner and a great, you know, sort of social atmosphere, dignified restaurant style served to the table, is now a takeout meal program offered to our clients at 4 o'clock every night. So, you know, we've been working really hard to sort of reinvent ourselves and how we deliver our services over the last month.
Corey and I would understand that with those changes, you would have incurred some additional unexpected expenses in dealing with that, right?
Yeah, definitely. And we just from the changes itself, the costs associated with going to a takeout container versus, you know, plates that we can wash. And that's just a simple example. But on a larger scale, we're going to the Greater Boston Food Bank at a greater clip in Boston to get our food. And that's causing, you know, additional gas, staffing, overtime. We had to purchase several carts for social distancing for our pantry program, where basically people come to a line, the groceries are put on a cart for them, they step forward, they take the cart to their car, we sanitize that cart down, start over again with the next customer. So there's been some pretty significant costs incurred just for the programming aspects of what we do. And then on the staffing side, we normally have an army of volunteers at Haven from Hunger, about 1,440 hours a month. Those volunteers are mostly in their 60s and 70s and are retired. They, obvious reasons, cannot come anymore, should not come anymore, and are staying home at a greater rate. So we are actually working with a couple of our funders in the city of Salem and the city of Peabody. And we are going to be hiring 10 individuals that have been laid off or furloughed from the restaurant industry to get to work at Haven from Hunger and help us out replacing those volunteers that really should be staying home at this time.
I was going to ask you about your so-called dedicated staff and maybe tell us about that, because when people are doing this work, it's just so critical that they continue to do it. But clearly, as you just noted, the volunteers can't do it. Those volunteers can't. So yeah. Tell me more about your staff, because obviously it's a dedicated group.
They're amazing. I mean, we actually just put out a memo to them praising their work and giving them a little increase as well during this time because of the personal commitment they're making to coming in every day. We have house managers that are going into our congregate shelters where multiple families and kids live. And, you know, we have safety precautions in place for them, but, you know, in any congregate environment, there's a higher risk of spread and real fast spread. The people at Haven from Hunger, we have like four employees there, and about 23 in our shelter program. So, you know, it's a strong group of people, and they're still doing whatever it takes to make the families and individuals feel safe and feel like they're not abandoned. In this world of social distancing, it's especially hard for our staff and our clients that we're having to sort of take a step away from each other a little bit, you know, to talk on the phone instead of in person about some pretty serious matters that, that people are going through in their lives, talking through a plate of glass, leaving things outside a door for them to pick up versus handing it to them, you know. So all these things are just kind of adding up and you know, definitely present a challenge for folks that are already have already gone through a series of complex traumatic events, and now we have this on top of it.
Can you share anything more, a particular story or two on a client or dealing with the people that you serve and how this has impacted them?
We had a couple of simple things. You know, the things that are really resonating with me are what, you know, what we're doing in the grocery stores. We're losing our minds and clearing these shelves. This is causing a great impact on families that need products. Families that are going to the grocery store to just get one can of formula, to get one package of diapers, to get one loaf of bread. Everyone taking 10 loaves of bread and 20 cases of toilet paper off the shelves is making it really, really difficult for the families that are most vulnerable. We had one family, the very first day of this crisis, we went out for our normal food rescue. We go to all the grocery stores and pick up things that are about to expire. There was no bread, zero bread, because it had all been cleared off the shelves. So we weren't able to rescue any bread that day. She was out in our parking lot crying, and one of our volunteers walked up and asked her why she was crying, and she said, "I don't have bread. I can't feed my children their sandwiches, you know." And that volunteer got in her car, went down to Santoro. The Santoro's owner gave her bread. She came back up that family. It was an amazing moment and a really sad moment at the same time, and it really pointed out what this sort of hoarding mentality in the grocery stores is doing to some of our clients.
Well, that is powerful information. Corey, I wanted you to close. Maybe tell us about, we're going to put a link on our post here as to how people can donate to the Citizens Inn. But I imagine that cash donations right now are the most valuable for you. But anything else you want to share?
You know, cash is really the only thing that we can accept at this time. The virus is living on cardboard for 24 hours, plastic for even longer, and we just can't put our volunteers and our staff at risk taking in-kind food donations at this time. So we're really just relying on Greater Boston Food Bank supply and restaurant and grocery store partners that practice solid food safety protocols. So cash, citizensinn.org, we have a donate button right at the top of the page. You know, those donations are going to go directly to fund our response to this crisis. All money coming in right now is being directed at that.
Well, anybody listening to you, Corey, will know it's money well spent for sure. So, Corey, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yep, Corey Jackson, the Executive Director, Citizens Inn in Peabody.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing, the lowest anywhere, check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, you're listening to Connections. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with Josh Arnold and Bill Newell. We'll get together for a little round table after we listen to what Dave has to say with Bill. Dave Radigan, of course, educator and comedian. We're going to go to that in just a second. I would like to remind you that we have lots of updates on our website We talk with many of the local officials and people all over the North Shore with respect to getting information out. And we don't edit. We like to talk to the people, let them talk in their own voices, and get every bit of information out as we possibly can, as they possibly can. So please peruse our website, pass the word along that we have all this stuff up there. And we have a lot of new interviews almost every single day. I guess they're called podcasts now, so we have those podcasts. And, of course, links to all the major informational sites around the North Shore and beyond. So we'll be talking a little bit. We'll have a roundtable about other things that we have found and we can discuss about this. And also, again, I'll have an interview up later on with the Gloucester Fire Department Fire Chief Eric Smith, and I hope to be talking with the Crisis Management Director pretty soon in Gloucester, and that is, he's the Assistant Fire Chief in Gloucester, Joe Aiello. Obviously very busy. The Public Health Department in Gloucester has been very kind in trying to set up interviews with us, but they've been too busy, obviously, at the moment to talk with us, and eventually we'll be talking with Karen Carroll or someone from her office. But again, you know, safety first. And I think safety first, be patient, and, of course, always do the right thing. Okay, so why don't we turn it over to Bill one more time in terms of, I like listening to Dave. Yes, Dave looks at things a little bit differently, sort of like it's phase shifted to the right about 45 degrees a little bit. So we'll be right back with Bill and Dave.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
Dave Radigan is joining us, educator, comedian Dave Radigan. And Dave, first up, how are you holding up with our new lifestyle?
Hey, Bill, I am doing as well as can be done, is all I can say. How good that is hard for me to say. To determine that as it is for me to determine what time it is, what day it is, what month it is.
Well, Dave, you brighten up our day because as we sit around not doing a lot, isolating, social distancing ourselves, we begin to think about a lot of different things. And the deal here is that gas prices have never been lower in years, but yet we're not driving. What is up? Why is this happening?
That's one more thing we can't complain about. I mean, think about how many times in your life you've complained about your commute, about traffic, about how much money you throw in to the gas tank. I mean, I teach in Lowell and Haverhill and Lawrence, and I live in Beverly, and I drive all over for comedy gigs. I mean, it's not unusual for me to spend 90 bucks or so or maybe even more some weeks for gas. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, I'm spending.
So, you know, if we could turn the clock back, I would love sitting in 2-hour traffic heading into Boston. You know, I would do that for.
Well, that'd be great. How many times do you think people say, "I wish I was stuck in my car listening to sports radio right now"?
Oh yeah, no, maybe not as many as you think, but. Yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got that. The other thing that folks always, you know, here's something that people can't complain about: the service they get in a restaurant. How can you complain? You can't complain about that.
You know, that's an excellent point. But it's funny about that because, right? Yeah, there's no restaurants any. Well, there's no, you know, there's no sitting down at a restaurant anymore. There's no sitting down at a pub. So, yeah, you can't complain about the service in restaurants unless you want to say, that guy took a long time to come out to the curb with my meal. Mm-hmm. You can't complain. What I've noticed, obviously, Bill, is people have taken those complaints and their attitudes, because they're Americans, we got to complain about something, and they take them to the only place you can go, the grocery stores. You go to the grocery store, and you go to the pharmacy, and you talk to people who work in those places. And, you know, people there, they're uptight. They're uptight, and it's like a different version, you know, hangry, which is what you get in restaurants when somebody's hungry and they're angry because they're hungry and they want to go, and it's, you know, makes them the diner that you don't necessarily look forward to waiting on. And that, there's a different version of that, the person who's uptight. And I know I went to the grocery store, and I had this older woman just creeping up on me, and I'm thinking to myself, in my head, I'm thinking, stay 6 feet away. But she was, I don't know what it was. She was attracted to me. She was 4 feet away. I'm thinking, what's the woman? What's the matter? This woman can't judge distance.
Well,
but I've got friends in both of those industries, and I see how hard they work, and I see how stressed they are, and I just want to say, public service bill, I would just want to tell people, you never want to piss off your pharmacist, because you want the prescription you asked for. That's what you want delivered into that vial, and.
I hope no one's doing that, Dave.
Well, you know something? You think spitting in your food is something to worry about.
Oh, jeez. you know, Dave, it's fun. You know, you're right. And, you know, I used to, you know, if you wait in line at a pharmacy now, or before, you'd still kind of say, okay, everybody in line at the pharmacy to pick up a prescription is probably sick, you know. So you always had that in your head, at least I did. So you kind of do a little social distancing, but now you have to do it at the grocery store, like you said, and so on. But people have always social distanced from me to begin with. It might be me.
Talking to them.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be you. Yeah, usually you don't. I find people don't social distance from me until they get to know me.
Hey, here's another one here. We used to complain, oh, man, I am so busy, I do not have time for ...
Time. Survey says, ding, not enough time. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, people now, it's like, what are you doing? Well, yesterday I watched the movie. What are you doing tomorrow? I think I'm going to watch a movie. I think I'm going to do this. And then you say, anything else? And they say, you know, maybe I should start working out. And I'm like, yeah, or you could go eat. You know, go to your refrigerator. But, I'm actually bucking the trend on that because, as you know, Bill, I'm teaching online because we've moved college teaching to online. So I'm doing a lot of teaching online, and I've had to learn to teach online, which is great for me. I mean, I really enjoy doing it, and I think it's going pretty well. But the learning how to teach online and then executing the teaching online. And if you know anybody who's a faculty member at a college, I got to tell you this, that person is getting so many emails per day with this training and that training and that. You've got to feel bad for that person. And by that person, I mean me. So even though which I can say, because I could say next time you see that person, remember it was tough for them, but you're never going to see that person again. So, so you're good. But, how long have we been isolated? Is it 2 weeks?
I think it's like 2.5 weeks now. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten my taxes done, which is always a giant thing for me.
But you got your taxes done, but they're not due.
I know. My tax guy was amazed. My taxes are done. My apartment is. I've been cleaning out my apartment. I've been throwing stuff out. I've been rearranging. I've been cleaning. I've been online with all these trainings and all this teaching, and Bill, I've managed to overschedule myself, which is pretty impressive, I think, and something I think I deserve a medal for. And the thing is, Bill, when this is over, at the end of whenever this is over, that hopefully in the end of April, the beginning of May, you know, if I don't have that novel written, I'm actually going to be disappointed.
No, I know. Here's one last thing I have, Dave, is that they say that when you retire, you know, a married couple, they all of a sudden they're both home and they drive each other nuts. So I'm
right.
People ought to look at this. Like, let's say you're in your 40s, and I would now call that a young couple, and all of a sudden you're home together for extended period of times. It's like a trial retirement. I mean, use this to learn.
That's an excellent suggestion, Bill. Use this to. This is your trial for retirement for younger couples.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I don't know how that plays out. I mean, it could go either way, I think, but wow, yeah.
Well, you know what it's like, Bill, and I've got another one for you in just a second. But it's like that person who let's say the traditional thing where you had the woman and the male and the woman's at home, and all of a sudden the guy is at home all the time, looking for things to do, and eventually he finds golf, and so then he's out of the house, and she's a lot happier because she's got some time now. And I think this is something right now, folks, and this is for men and women. This is the time to get onto social media and spend all your time on social media just like it was an avocation or a hobby.
Oh, man, that's kind of depressing. That's a depressing way to end this, Dave.
I got one more thing you can't complain about, and that's the bright side.
Guys, who looks at the bright side anymore? Hey, no one does. Yeah.
But, Bill, think about this. We can't complain about the Red Sox.
No, I mean, and by the way, just think of, I mean, all the, it was going to be a horrible year for the Red Sox. You're right, Deb. I mean, we've just been spared that at least for a month or two here.
Let's put it this way. If there's going to be a year to miss the beginning of the season, I think this is the year to do it. And we'll just hope for the best when this thing clears. Mm. And we won't talk about the fact that we lost the hockey playoffs.
All right, Dave. Always good talking with you, even under these testing times that we are under. But we'll come up with some more, I'm sure.
All right. Sounds good, Bill.
Dave Radigan, comedian, educator here on Connections.
Alrighty then, a little levity to lighten the load there with Bill and Dave. You guys play well off each other, Bill.
Yeah, well, Dave's a pretty funny guy, that's for sure. But it is interesting how we are. And by the way, if Josh is listening, we tried to get him back on the line with us, but we couldn't do it. But it is funny how some people can be extremely busy right now. And others, you know, are just sitting around. It's crazy.
Well, we can take a break in a minute or two, see if I can get him back. But, along those lines, I noticed there was an article in one of the papers I was reading this morning online that newspaper staff, they're feeling the effects of the virus. I mean, they're down anyway in terms of people who are on the staff, you know, because of economics. But people are getting sick now, and the papers are getting thinner and thinner, and those who are there are working harder and harder. So, I mean, the so-called essential workers, Bill, they got to be taxed, man. And then, coming home at night, they got to be a little anxious as well. So I don't envy that.
No, I know. In fact, there's the hospitals are really not the place to be, and not that you can go into a hospital now anyway. But unless you work there, and then they're very busy. And there's a very informative story by Dustin Luca today in the Salem News on the hospitals, and they have details on Salem Hospital, Beverly, and Addison Gilbert Hospital, mm-hmm. Those three in particular, I guess. And there's more, but it just speaks to how busy they are, and we're coming down to the crunch time here. If you believe what we've heard from the governor and from the president, we're coming to the crunch time here in the next week or two.
Yeah, and I think the thing, I don't know, just for me anecdotally, is I just have to be patient. You know, like I said, I keep looking for that that silver lining when you wake up, and all the news stories. Now, here's Josh now. All right, let me see if I can get him. Hold on, Bill.
All right.
Hello? Hello? Now, you there? You there, Bill?
I am here.
All right,
yeah.
Why don't I take a break, and I'll see if I can figure this out. Very quick break. Be with us. Stay with us, please. I'll be right back. See if we can get a hold of Josh one more time. We'll be right back.
MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors, like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com.
All right. We've made connections with Josh Arnold. And, Josh, welcome. Glad you're with us.
Yeah. Good to be here.
All right. So, Bill, I was in the middle of a thought. I forgot what it was, so why don't you pick it up for us?
Oh, man. I've just had a thought here. How many essential workers there are, and there's different jobs that you think that, you always knew certain people were essential, but obviously grocery workers, grocery store workers, other pharmacy workers. And I thought of another one. I mean, what about the people in the corrections office, Sheriff Coppin, all the Essex County, Sheriff Coppinger and his team. And those are the people that have to operate the same way that they've operated before, but they have to operate completely differently as well. Their job assignments don't change, but obviously the conditions have just changed dramatically.
Josh?
A lot of essential people, and interesting that some of the things that I talked to a local attorney who said that he's considered essential because they're still doing closings for real estate transactions. So some things that aren't like firefighters or policemen or health workers fit under essential as defined by each governor when they declare their emergency. So they decide what's in and what's out and how that plays out. It's interesting, though, that there are 14 states that have yet to declare it an emergency and impose a stay-at-home order.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine they'll get with the program at some point.
Yeah. It just seems to me that, I was trying to look at this in an optimistic way, that this had an end date. But right now, I mean, this week it seems like there isn't an end date to it, even though there are end dates on certain, they could easily be extended like they've been extended in the past. And you just saw where Rockport Music shot us an email, a release that they're canceling their music at the Shaylin Lou through June. And I thought I heard one of the Boston museums closed through August yesterday. So, this stuff's moving on, well beyond May 1st.
I want to point out that I saw something on social media this morning from a reliable source, and it was a picture from the Gloucester Market Basket that was taken probably around 6:30 this morning when old folks like myself are supposed to be allowed in. And there was a line. They've got a new process in place now where they have a certain number of people that are allowed in. They're counting them. You can only go in through one entrance, and you have to wait in line outside. And they've got around the perimeter of the parking lot shopping carts every 10 feet or so that you have to stand behind as you wait in line. So it's a whole, I think, Bill, you coined the phrase a new reality rather than, the new normal, because this is not normal. But again, I think patience is the key. And Josh, you've run across a lot of interesting stuff as well in your sitting behind the computer.
Yes, I have. I saw, in terms of delaying things, I saw where candidate Vice President Biden has suggested to party leaders that the Democratic convention should be pushed out until August. It still hasn't been wrapped up. There's still some votes difference between him and Bernie Sanders, although Biden is considered the preeminent person to face off against Donald Trump. I did find it interesting in the conversation yesterday that one of the reporters had asked the president if he would take a call from Joe Biden, and so now there's a little bit of back and forth between them trying to see if they can find a way for Joe Biden to help the Trump administration out, given his vast background and so forth. So I thought that was an interesting piece.
Josh, I just had an idea here. I don't know what the Democratic Party rules are, but if they don't have a convention, then I believe, I think I'm right on this, is that then the convention from 4 years ago, you have to go with that candidate. So Hillary would be the nominee again this year.
I had not heard that.
No, I made that up. All right. I'm a little bit
You're
late.
You're a day late. That would have worked yesterday.
Okay.
Somebody sent me an article. I saw a thing there, and I got halfway through it and realized it was the name of Pete Rose, won a bet and was getting into the Hall of Fame.
There you go. Well, I think Bill just gave a whole bunch of people cold sweats there for a second.
Well, you know, we're going to need to resuscitate some people.
Yeah, really.
usually an April Fool's Day, I'm not saying that I will pull a prank, but I'm aware of it. And I'll be honest with you, it wasn't until later in the day that I was even aware that it was April Fool's Day yesterday. So yeah. That, by the way, there's a video out there. I should have tracked it down, but there's a somebody shot. It was on Twitter, but it must have been on other things too, because my wife saw it as well. But of a father, apparently yesterday, sent his three young girls out with their backpacks, waiting for the school bus or waiting for him to come out and take them to school in their car.
No.
Headline was school. You know, school's back. You know, viruses. The isolation ends or whatever, and we're back to school today. And so the girls are out there. You know, they're different, varying ages, because apparently they were probably sisters, but young, and they found out, you know, what day it was, and were kind of upset at their dad for pulling that on them.
I was going to say, it'd be funny if they were in on the joke and they just posted this so everybody else could look at it, but that's kind of cruel.
Nah, you know, but for a little while. I'll be honest with you, I could see pulling that. I wouldn't worry about the feelings of my kids. I would do it.
Yeah, there you go.
I was in Market Basket about a week ago, and the lines to get out were long, and I saw a guy that I used to work with in city government, and I said, I told them to do this alphabetically, but they didn't listen.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, what I was hoping was they'd go by the alphabet, you know, A through L on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and M through Z on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, but they didn't take my advice either.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, that would be a good way to do it. I noticed Winchester Patch Network had an article today. The Patriots' private plane will bring 1.2 million N95 masks from China to Boston. The New England Patriots' private plane is delivering more than 1 million sorely needed masks from China, the Wall Street Journal first reported. Team's plan is set to land at Boston's Logan Airport Thursday today with 1.2 million N95 masks. There's another 500 masks for delivery, but the plane could only handle 1.2 million. Team owner Robert Kraft and his family paid $2 million, about half the cost for the masks, which are a crucial piece of personal protection equipment needed on the front lines of the fight against the coronavirus. The National Guard will go to the airport and get them and then bring them to the Marlboro stockpile, and they'll be distributed from there.
Well, that's a little more than the Jacobs family is doing at this moment. That's good.
Yeah, what? Yeah. I saw that the a couple of the Los Angeles teams are not doing quite the Angels are not doing quite as much as most of the other major league teams were.
Well, you know, I talked to Andy Carboni today, our baseball insider, and today would have been the home opener. And, you know, right now, as we speak, it's not that bad out there, but the forecast does call for rain this afternoon. So for those of you that would have gone to the home opener today, you probably avoided a rotten, miserable kind of weather day at Fenway Park to watch a ball game.
Well, it was great listening to you and Dave talk about the things that we can be glad about, including gas mileage and not having to worry about the Red Sox. So that's a good thing. Bill, we need to wrap this up, but I want to point out all of the information that you have up on the website. We've got a new concert from Greg Verga's Unfinished Music Studio. Maybe you could mention some of the things that we have up there and some of the things that are in the fire.
Well, I mean, we obviously have people out there that we'll be talking to, you know, in the days ahead, you know, different leaders and so on. I was just thinking of, two things. Forgot one of them, but I remember the other one here. So I was struck by what Corey Jackson said from Citizens in Peabody, and one of the things he said about people. I mean, people, there are a lot of people. There's some of us that might have bought that big boxing of toilet paper at Costco and You know, we don't need to go out shopping for certain items every day because we might have hopefully a few of them in our home. We're getting low on a few things, though, at our house. But the people that sometimes are different, you know, the people other services, community services, they might want to go to the store to buy one box of diapers or some piece of some kind of food, and it's cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
He brought home the idea that this hoarding thing that was going on, and I don't know if it's going on now or not, but I assume that it kind of is, although I heard that some things were slowing down a little bit on that front, but I don't know. But it just means to don't do it. I mean, just don't do it, because there are so many people that might just be only able to get that one box of diapers, and if they're gone, you know, that hurts.
Josh, final thoughts?
From what I've heard, and I haven't been shopping in a week, and I've actually not been out of the house, out of the driveway at least, in a week. But most places, whether it's a mom-and-pop store or a grocery outlet, are limiting high-demand items. So you can go in and get two or maybe four rolls of toilet paper, two boxes of tissue or what have you. Whatever the real high-demand things are, when they have them, they're going to ration them in terms of who can get what, which only makes sense.
I would just like to offer thoughts and prayers in the truest sense of the word, because I am of a spiritual bent. Sometimes when I'm out running or walking, I do my meditation and my praying. There are people who are suffering. There are people in our communities, and we all know at least one of them, who are not doing well. And I encourage people to at least meditate about that, think about that, and be patient, you know, in your own safety, and continue the good works and do the right thing, because some of the people who are in hospitals now that I know of, I'm absolutely devastated that they're going through this. And then you got to think about the people who have, I'm going to put this in quotes, normal emergencies, who may be pushed to the background because of this. So you know, the reality of it is much more serious than I thought it was ever going to be, and I've learned a lesson. So I hope for good things for those people who are not feeling well right now. Bill, final comment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things that, if I'm talking to Dave, we're trying to do a segment where we're kind of brightening things up a
yep.
little bit. Having said that, though, clearly that's the bottom line. I think through all kinds of crises, I mean, people had to laugh. I mean, during World War II, old-time radio, the comedy shows continued during that time, and those were very difficult times for Americans and citizens around the world. Life or death, freedom or not freedom, you know, those kinds of things. And so I mean, we're in a similar situation, I think, to that extent. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot out there, and you know, I hope people are generous. I just speak to that we've talked about. We've had a number of different people on from I could call them charities, but they're organizations that do service, that serve the neediest people in our communities, and they are doing fantastic work now, but they need money right now. So you know the organizations in your city or town, and maybe pop a check in the mail or do something, or go online and donate. They're very easy to do. We do actually on our post have the link for the Citizens Inn, the most recent one that we just talked to today, Corey Jackson. So those are out there. And oh, by the way, Corey mentioned that he's doing YouTube live, Facebook live today at noontime, and we do have a link on that as well for people as to how to access services. So, you know, check that out as well.
Last thought.
Yep.
Yeah, just a suggestion. Go through your email contact list or your phone listings, and shoot an email, a message, or make a call to somebody and just check on them and see how they're doing. It'll make a lot of people happy, and it will do a lot of good and help the cause.
Good idea. And we hope we did lighten the day and get out a little information out there. So on behalf of Josh Arnold, Bill Newell, and Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections. Please stay safe and do the right thing.